You know what? We're into October, and it's certainly hunting season across the Cowboys State right now.
It sure is, and good morning, Duke. It's been a warm start to the hunting season, but I've been hearing lots of reports from around the state, and people are definitely getting out and after it.
So speaking of, you know, the big game especially, I know it's still early in the season, and I don't know how much data you get, but of course there's been some concern, especially on this western side, of some of the big game numbers and population, and everything seemed to be going well so far.
Well, there's certainly, you know, folks have been out and have taken advantage of the opportunity to hunt, but the harvest is down significantly, just as we predicted over in your part of the state. You know, our local biologist there, Gary Freilich, does a check station there at Alpine every year for the first 5 days of the season, and we saw about Gary saw about 25% of what he saw last year as far as bucks come through the check station. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. It is in line with what we expected, but I know there's frustrated people, and more than that, just kind of saddened by the fact that we took such a hit to our mule deer last year.
Yeah, of course, that's speaking of the mule deer specifically, but it sounds like when we get into the elk season, though, elk isn't was not quite as impacted, correct?
Not even close. There was a few places where elk were impacted in the far western part of the state, but for the most part, all the reports I've had on elk have been very good. Elk are at least there. I know people have struggled a little bit because it has been warmer than normal, but there's been a lot of good harvests. I've even seen some going up and down the highways. So,
Director Brian Nesbitt with the Wyoming Game and Fish this morning. Director, the Landowners of the Year were recently announced by the Game and Fish, and Lincoln County's very own Richard and Brenda Bateman from the Edna area were selected as Landowners of the Year. Tell us some more about this program and about the Bateman's Ranch in Etna and what they've done for Game and Fish.
Yeah, I tell you that it's a program we've been doing for over 20 years now. And, you know, we really felt back, you know, when this program started, that being able to recognize those folks that provide so much habitat around our state for wildlife and access to sportsmen was really something worthwhile. And so we've done that from one each year from each of our eight regions. And it's been very successful. There's a lot of very deserving landowners, including, you know, the local folks there that we just recognized. It was a pleasure to see them over. We did this over in Gillette. Pleasure to see them and be able to thank them for all that they've done for wildlife habitat in your part of the world.
Director, since the last time we talked, of course, the big news coming out of your office was the announcement of a collaboration and initiative with the Department of Education on these new student expanded opportunities, conservation education in public schools, and this is such a cool program, and I'm excited to see how this proceeds and rolls out, but it sounds like things are off and rolling with this.
Yeah, we really took steps to redouble our efforts to get more wildlife conservation and hunter education into our schools. You know, what better place to be able to give kids those opportunities and teach them about all things wildlife and all things Wyoming. And so I'm very excited about expanding this. I'm excited about having more capacity to deliver hunter education to our kids all across the state. Also, since that press conference, we've had some positive developments. We had concerns with federal legislation, or actually in interpretations by the current administration regarding using federal funds to do education that involved archery equipment or firearms. And since that press conference, there's a bill that passed last week in both the House and the Senate, and was signed by the president, that will now clarify that that's no longer the case, and that federal funds for schools will be able to be used on important conservation education, hunter education, archery, trout in the classroom, all that good stuff.
That's great news. It really is. Tell us, it allows this program to really go forward and excel. So tell us what this looks like for the student in the classroom. What kinds of things will they be doing and participating in on a curriculum?
So, yeah, certainly. So one is called Trout in the Classroom, and it gives kids an opportunity to get some eggs from one of our hatcheries, and to be able to have them in the classroom and to watch them, you know, go all the way from being just an eyed egg with a little black dot in the middle to a hatched little trout. And they'll get to watch that trout grow and feed it till the end of the school year. The archery's in this archery in the schools program is real similar to 4-H shooting sports, where it teaches kids the discipline and some of the skills that are needed to be good archery shots. And a lot of kids that participate do it all the way through their high school years, just like they do with 4-H shooting sports. And then obviously hunter education is just that. It's our curriculum that we have currently that a lot of our volunteers around the state teach. And but it'll be different because teachers will be able to be certified and be able to teach it as part of their normal curriculum during the normal school year. So really good opportunities. I'm excited about it.
I'm sure there's a lot of teachers around the state that would be, that are excited to think, man, I'll take a break from the normal normal schedule to do some hunter education.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So does that replace the current hunter education method as it has been, as far as the volunteers teaching the night or the weekend courses? Is that going away and it's just in the schools now?
No. We'll continue with the current, all the current volunteers doing just what they're doing and have been doing. This is just going to be a lift. This is going to be more capacity for hunter education delivery.
Director Brian Nesbitt with the Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, anything about else on this conservation initiative that you wanted to mention today?
No, I think we covered it real well, but like I hope that over time we're able to really be able to touch every community in the state with it. You know, we're going to start where we can with the current resources that are available, but I want to see this expand across every community in the state.
Director, anything else regarding Game and Fish across the state you wanted to mention?
So just one quick thing. I'm sure some of your listeners may have heard recently that there was quagga mussel, larval form quagga mussels discovered in the Snake River there in Idaho. And, you know, I've had a lot of questions about, well, can those things move upstream and end up in Wyoming? And the answer to that is no. They can't on their own anyway, unless they're moved by a boat or by a person. But we are watching this closely. The Idaho, there in Idaho, their Game and Fish doesn't handle these invasive, aquatic invasive species. Their Department of Ag does. But we're watching closely what they're doing, and they're going to try a treatment, it sounds like, where they're going to try to treat the water and kill the mussels. Bottom line, though, is it's a reminder to us that our efforts to keep those nasty little critters out of our state are well worth it. And I thank the people of our state who are diligent about stopping at our check stations and about helping to pay for the program by buying their AIS decal.
Yeah, certainly want to keep those in Idaho if we can help it. That's Director Brian Nesbitt this morning with the Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it as always.